Are you ready to get into the Word? All right, we've been doing a series called The Calling, and I'm telling you, I have done series before, but I can't remember a time when I have just been absolutely so overwhelmed by the things that God is showing me, especially in this day and time. And so we started also doing a part of the series called Stand Still and Go Forward. Stand still and go forward. I know people think, how in the world you stand still and go forward? Well, you have to understand what God was saying through Moses when Moses prophesied to them and told the children of Israel when they were in a very fearful position to stand still, and then God is the one said, go forward. Amen? And of course, the go forward is going to be next week. But today we're going to find out, how do we stand still? How do we continue to move forward in an atmosphere or an environment that so many people are afraid? So many people are full of fear. So many people are drawing back. So many people are speaking what they're seeing, in even in the church, than speaking what God is saying and trusting in Him. So the Bible tells us this, very important scripture. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, it says this. Wait. I didn't say turn there. Boy, y'all are fast. You're ready. So I'm just going to give you an example, and then I'm going to tell you to turn someplace. Okay? So an example is 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he said this. He said, speaking of the children of Israel, where we're going to read in just a moment, he said, these are our examples for us today. So we have to understand that all Scripture is profitable. All Scripture can be used by God and the Holy Spirit any moment, any time, to give us insight, to show us things that we need to know, and how do we act and how do we do not act in certain ways. So now turn to Exodus 14. Amen. We shout for the Word. Exodus chapter 14, beginning with verse 8. We know the passage of Scripture above that where Pharaoh is saying, why did we let the children of Israel go? Why did we release them? Let's go back and get them. Let's bring them back and put them in bondage, put them back in slavery. And last week, I said to you, and again, I want to emphasize this, just because you got saved, just because you got set free and delivered, and just because God has brought you out and delivered you, does not mean that you are no longer subject to the attacks of the devil. The devil, listen, even Jesus himself, when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, in Luke the 4th chapter, you can read this. And it said, after Jesus rebuked him and commanded him to get away from him, the Bible says that the devil left him. Now listen to this scripture. The devil left him for a more opportune time. The devil, listen to this. The devil never gives up, and neither should you. Because God is greater than the devil. Matter of fact, you have power over him, so don't ever give up. So, we come to verse 8, and it says this, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel, now watch this, went out with boldness. Man, I mean, they were singing, they were praising. Wow. Egypt has been decimated. Pharaoh has been defeated. Glory, just like we do. When the devil has been defeated, we're jumping up and down and shouting and screaming. And then all of a sudden, something happens. A problem comes. Some way, a circumstance or an adversity shows up. And then you really find out how much boldness and how much faith you have. Amen. So it says, so the Egyptians, verse 9, so the Egyptians pursued them And all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, overtook them camping by the sea. I'm not going to read those words. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And then they said to Moses, now you know that cry was a cry of complaint and despair. It was not a cry of faith. How do we know that? Because now they're going to attack the one who led them out. They're going to attack the spokesman for God. And they're actually, when they're attacking Moses, they're attacking God. So they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forth. Now, here's something we need to understand. Because in this passage of Scripture, Pharaoh and Egypt, especially in the Bible, represents a metaphor of Pharaoh representing the devil and all of his people and the chariots and the horses and everything that he has represents the world. And remember last week I gave you that definition, because the world is basically society, its cultural systems, educational philosophies, and religion that has been organized to oppose and reject Jesus Christ as the only way for a human being to be saved, the only way to salvation, and the Bible as the absolute infallible Word of God, which is absolute truth. Amen? Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, I keep going back to this because God has me keep going back to this. We are in a spiritual warfare with the kingdom of darkness, which represents the devil and demonic spirits. And the devil and demonic spirits is not the figment of somebody's imagination. They are real. And if you can look at the evil that we see today, you know that there is an evil entity behind people that are killing, stealing, and destroying. Because that's exactly the platform Jesus said was of the devil. Jesus said this in John 10:10. Anything that you see that has to do with stealing, killing, and destroying, you know where it's coming from. But then he says, anything that has to do with life and abundant life, it's coming from me. It's coming from your heavenly Father. Now, because of the day and the time that we're living in, which I believe is in the last of the last days, you need to understand that the devil knows that his time in this earth is short. And it's getting shorter every day. Therefore, because he knows his time is short, his warfare is escalating like never before. And the church should be not running, not hiding, not withdrawing, not cowering back. The church of Jesus Christ, we should be escalating our warfare. Amen? So I want to show you this. And I showed you and gave you scripture last week. But again, I'm going to show you what we're dealing with in this world. Okay? Revelations, the 12th chapter. Revelations chapter 12. Verse 7, how many of you know where the first war ever broke out? In heaven. First war ever fought was in heaven. And it says this right here in verse 7, Revelation 12, chapter, verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the Michael and his angels representing the kingdom of God, and the dragon representing the devil, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Please listen to me. They fought. There was a fight. The devil will fight you. The devil will attack, okay? But he did not prevail. And listen to this. If he didn't prevail in heaven, and Jesus said, pray this, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and then God has given us the keys of the kingdom, and Jesus said this when he gave us the keys of the kingdom. He said, and the gates of hell in this earth shall not prevail against my church. Shall not prevail. But if Michael and his angels had to fight, then we, as the body of Christ, we have to fight. Amen. So it says, but they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. Why are you giving the devil any place? When the Bible says, give him no place. Don't give him any place. Don't let him settle down in your house. Don't let him settle down in your work and your business and whatever you do. Don't let him settle down there. Young people, don't let him settle down in your school. I said your school, not his school, your school. You have to remember that all of this is spiritual, that manifests in the natural. So verse 9, it says, so the great dragon was cast out. Glory to God. The serpent of all, called the devil and Satan. Now watch this. What does it say, the next sentence? Who? Say it out. Who deceives the whole world? Not just people in the Middle East. The whole world. That I gave you the definition of world. All of society that is lost. All of culture that is lost. Society that organizes itself, regardless of what system it is, to reject God, to reject Jesus, to reject his word. That is who the devil works through. It's they're deceived, just like you were deceived. You were not born again. You had to get born again. And once we got born again, the blinders were taken off of our eyes, and for the first time in our life, we could actually begin to see truth because of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, who is the Spirit of truth. Amen? So it says, who deceives the whole world, He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. Man, I could camp right there. Now salvation through Jesus and strength, which means power. Supernatural power by the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, which you could say the power of his word, have come. They're not going to come. Quit trying to bring down what's already here. So it says, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night. Who is the accuser? The devil. Who accuses you and condemns you? The devil. Who has a file cabinet on your past? The devil. He knows where you've been. He knows where you are. But God holds your future. Come on. So he'll bring up your past to you all the time if he knows that you'll sit there and chew on it and meditate on it and allow him to beat you up allow him to weaken you through his accusations. And they overcame it by the blood of the Lamb. Woo! And the word and the word. The blood and the word. The blood and the word. The blood and the word of their testimony. Let me ask you this. What are you testifying out of your mouth concerning the situations that are going on in your life and around you? What are you testifying? Are you testifying about to God? Are you testifying about God? Are you is your testimony around other people that I can't make it, I can't do this, everything's against me, I'm not going to see this, I'm not going to see that? What's your testimony? Your testimony should get people's attention. Your testimony about God. And it says this, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. That means woe to those who don't know Jesus. Woe to those who do not have not been saved through the blood of the Lamb and do not know the word of God. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows he has a short time. Now, who's he after? As the Bible said he's after. Watch this in verse 17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. And if you study that out, you'll find out that that is the representation of Israel. Of Israel. So he says, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. Who is her offspring? Who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Did you hear that? He went to make war. Who is our war against? Ephesians, the sixth chapter. We went through this. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. You do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and a spiritual host of wickedness in high places. That's the reason it's so important for the church not to back up, not to cower back, not to be in fear and afraid. Because we're the only ones that have the keys of the kingdom. We're the only ones that have the power of the word. We're the only one that has the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of God has been given to the church. You can't look for other people, no matter where they are in any system, in any organization. The only entity on this earth that has the power to exercise the defeat of the devil and stop his advancement and mess his plans up is the church of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. In other words, he said, whatever you forbid on this earth, I will forbid it. So when the church starts praying and interceding, it messes the devil all up. Messes him all up. Can you say amen? Amen? So what happened to the children of Israel? Well, matter of fact, right here in Exodus, they found themselves between the devil and the deep blue sea. Like I said up front, a rock and a hard place. So what was Israel's response to Pharaoh's attack? Fear, anger, and accusation. Fear, anger, and accusation. Now, for you and I to be human, that is to know fear. But I don't have to accept the fear. I mean, every single one of us are going to be scared at times when unexpected events or reports or something arise. We're going to have the feelings of fear and feelings of scare. Okay? But remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. I don't go by my feelings. What do I have to do? I have to take control of my emotions and my feelings and bring them in subjection. The Apostle Paul said, I bring my body under subjection. I bring it in subjection to the power of the Holy Spirit, to the word of Almighty God. And so we can be scared at times. Fear can come, but you've got to realize that fear also is a spiritual attack. The Bible says in Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Power. That is supernatural power, dunamis power, the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that operates in every single one of us. So he said, the word of God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, understanding the love of God, and a sound mind. That actually means discipline, a disciplined mind. And then, and we sang it this morning in Romans 8, chapter verse 31, it says, if God be for me, who can be against me? Now, if we take what happened to them so quickly that when they saw the circumstance, when they saw Pharaoh, they immediately, their hearts turned into mistrust instead of trust. Remember, they came out with boldness, singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Just on fire. But then as soon as something happened, they were offended. They were offended that they had a problem. They were offended that this attack had come. And try to find out, why would this come to me? Why would it happen? As if I've done something wrong. Remember, the enemy came to attack them because of what they were doing in obedience and following after God. It was not what they did wrong, it was what they were doing right that attracted the attack. So the enemy will make you think that when the attack comes, you've missed it. Something's happened. You've messed up. God doesn't really love you, or this would have never happened. Why in the world, in the church, when we get saved, that we think, for some reason, that we are immune to attacks. We are immune to problems and circumstances and issues. Yeah, when you get to heaven, you will not have any problems. You will not have any issues whatsoever. None. But as long as you're on this earth, you have an enemy. He hates your guts. He wants to destroy you. He wants to deceive you. He wants you to turn back. He doesn't want you to walk in the identity that God wants you to walk in and understand who you really are. So, what happened? If you go, and we won't turn there for time's sake, but if you write this down in your notes, if you go to Mark, the 4th chapter, verses 16 and 17, you'll find out that Jesus is given the parable of the sower. And he sows the word on stony ground. And the Bible says that those on stony ground received the word with gladness. Man, they were so excited. Man, they're coming out of Egypt. Oh, praise God, this is wonderful. People getting healed, people getting saved. Oh, it was amazing what was happening. And then it says, but when tribulation and trials and testings come, listen to this. Because of the word, they fall away quickly because they have no root. See, here's the key. You can't just be a Sunday sermon listener. You must get yourself into the word of God on a regular daily basis. Just like you eat food. Just like you clothe yourself on a daily basis. You know, it's the same identical thing. Because we are dealing in spiritual warfare, you must be able to combat everything that comes your way through the Word of God. You must know how to pray. You must understand how to use the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. Because the Bible says we've got God's armor, Ephesians 6 chapter, but we also have the sword of the Spirit. But in this day and time, you must be a skilled swordsman. You must know how to use your weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So what happened? Fear came in. Fear, the Bible says they were so afraid. Number one, they were so afraid. So what will fear do if you don't have a foundation of God's word? What is fear going to do? Just because you see miracles does not mean that you have a foundation of faith. You can see signs and wonders and miracles all day long, but it does not mean that you have a foundation of faith, because faith does not come by signs and wonders and miracles. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's what it comes by. So the Bible tells us in Psalms 103, verse 7, Psalms 103, verse 7, it says this. It says, Moses knew God's ways, but the children of Israel only knew his acts. So you can even come down after service and get prayed for, and people can go to you or wherever you are and pray for you. But the moment they leave, if you don't have a foundation in God's word, the devil's going to come and steal what you just got. And the devil will attack you and make you, deceive you and convince you that God's not going to help you out of this thing. You're going to be like that for the rest of your life. And that's where the children of Israel got into so much fear. Because Moses took the time to spend time with God. And guess what? Guess who the next leader was after Moses died? Joshua. You want to know why Joshua was chosen as the next leader? Because every time Moses would go to the tent of the meeting of the tabernacle, and by the way, everybody in Israel could have gone to that tent. God would have desired it. But the Bible says they only came to the door of their tent and went no farther. Joshua went right in with Moses, and when Moses would leave the presence and Moses would get his direction and get what God was telling him, when Moses would leave, the Bible says Joshua stayed there. Joshua stayed there. In other words, he was so in love with the presence of God, so overwhelmed with the presence of God. I mean, Joshua, I can sit there, Moses coming by and say, hey, Josh, you going to go with me? Yeah, you go. I'm staying right here. And Joshua was the one who led them in to get the promised land. See, when you love his presence, when his presence means more to you than anything else. I mean, I love to be around my wife. Oh, my gracious. I love to be around my wife. But she cannot take the place of the presence of God. Because what Tava cannot do for me is Tava cannot meet my deepest spiritual needs. And so when I tried to get all of my need and my spiritual needs met through my wife, I'm putting a yoke on her and a burden on her that she does not deserve, and it's something that she cannot perform. And so therefore, I can get angry and frustrated. The only time that you're going to have all of your need met and you're going to be confident in God is when you get into his presence, and when you take time to be in his presence, and you take time to get in his word, because when you get into his word, his presence begins to manifest. Amen. And he'll begin to speak to you through his word. And that's the reason Moses could stand up in faith and say, stand still. Let me tell you what God's going to do today. Here's the difference between the whole congregation, which is about 2 million people, and one man who spent time in the presence of God, who loved Jesus with all, who loved God with all of his heart, and stood there and listened to what God would say. And when it got really down to the nitty-gritty, they turned in fear. Moses stood up and said, "Hey, wait just a minute. Stand still. Stand still." Fear literally, the children of Israel, fear propelled them into a mental state of anxiety and worry. What they heard and what they saw caused them to get into a place of mental distraction. And once you get into mental distraction, then you will operate in mental restriction. So once you get into mental distraction, once you allow the enemy to distract you, that distraction, if you focus on it and you look at it, will then become a mental restriction. It will restrict you from moving and going and where God wants you to go, but it will restrict you from actually trusting God. What else did fear do? Fear caused them to be angry and caused them to be frustrated and disappointed. And then they began to verbally attack the one who had led them out, who had brought liberty to them. So again, the way that you see a situation will depend on how you have prepared your heart to face that situation. And if you have not prepared yourself in the Word of God, you will allow anxiety and worry and fear to take over in your life. And by the way, when you start out in faith, that's awesome, because every one of us we have to grow. We have to mature. You can't just stay a Sunday Christian. You've got to be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Matter of fact, Sunday should be a celebration when we all come in after we've been fighting the fight of faith, studying the Word of God, going through this. Taking time, taking the notes that are on the website every single week. They're there. Every note that I have, it's there for your study. But if you spend more time on Facebook and more time on posting on Instagram and more time on social media, oh yeah, all you got to do is go to your phone and look how much time you've been spending on social media. If you take all of that time and you give it to that, by the time the devil shows up, you're going to run and hide. You're going to be full of fear. You're not going to stand on the Word of God. And then, you know what the devil's going to do? The devil's going to beat you sideways, forwards, and frontwards. Instead of him looking like coming out of a fight, all scarred up and everything, you'll come out all scarred up. That's what he'll do if you're not prepared. It's a growing process. That's the reason we have discipleship classes. It prepares you. That's the reason we have these notes. It prepares you. You study. It prepares you for the day that is coming. And believe it, the day is coming. Let me just throw this out. This is free. Okay. I'm gonna throw this out. Okay. If the devil was so successful with COVID-19, what do you think that he's preparing to bring next? Amen. Let me say something to you. COVID-19 might be the lion or the bear that David faced. Is you and your family prepared for the Goliath? Are you listening to me, church? Are you listening to me, people of God? Okay? You and I must understand that regardless of what's going on in this world, if I am trusting God and I'm standing on the rock and I am believing God and I'm filling my heart full of the Word of God, come hell or high water, God's going to bring me through it. God's going to take me through it. God's going to get the glory and He's going to get the honor. I've just got to make sure that I don't freak out, give up, and run away. That is not who we were created to be. And I'm calling the king out in you this morning. I'm calling the champion out in you this morning. I'm calling the warrior out in you this morning. I'm calling it to come forth. I'm prophesying to you. Listen, when Peter got out of the boat, I mean, he was walking on the water. I mean, man, he was doing good. I'm walking on the water. I'm walking on the water. I'm walking on the water. And then the Bible says when he got his eyes off of Jesus and he looked at the waves and he heard the wind and the waves were boisterous. You think we got some loud voices now? It was boisterous. You know, we got people loud saying all kinds of things. I'm just believing that the roar of the Lion of Judah is going to be greater than the roar of this world. I believe when people are saying loud things that we're going to be praising louder than they're saying. We're going to be praising and worshiping God. What about the disciples? When the disciples got caught in the storm, because Jesus said this, and here's something you need to understand concerning the children of Israel, where we are right now in this particular part of the study. In Exodus, the 3rd chapter, verse 12, God said this to Moses, "Take my people to this mountain so that they can worship me." That was a promise. When Jesus got in the boat with the disciples, he said, "Let us." He didn't say, "Just let me. I'm going to lose a couple of you on the way. But that's all right. Some of us will get over there." He said, "Let us, all of us, go to the other side." So why was Jesus sleeping? Because he had already prophesied. He had already spoken what he believed was going to come. No matter what kind of storm came, he knew that boat is going to the other side. And I'm going to sleep because my Father will get it to the other side. But the disciples were freaking out and woke him up and said, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" And Jesus got up and said, "Where's your faith? Where's your faith?" He didn't do that in condemnation. He was teaching them, "Guys, you're going to have to develop your faith because this is not the only storm you're going to see. You need to develop your faith." So what else does fear do? Fear will cause their imagination to run wild and run away from the experience of God's love and grace and power and deliverance and faithfulness. And what was happening? Their imagination now was going toward death and destruction of their families and total annihilation. Complete annihilation. It's over with. It's history. We're going to die. Forget it. It's over. They were mad and upset. What should they have done? Let me close with this. One of the most important scriptures in the Bible. One of the most important scriptures. If I can get you to understand this scripture, you will be so far ahead in your Christianity. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 3. What should they have done? What should have been their response? Moses is responding out of faith. They are responding out of fear. Here's what they should have done. For though we walk in the flesh. Were they walking? Yes. They came out of Egypt. They were walking. They were in the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What was one of the strongholds that they were having to deal with right there? Fear. That was becoming a stronghold, which was causing them to get into anxiety and worry and get into mistrust. But you know what the Bible tells us in 1 John? It says perfect love casts out all fear. Yes. If they knew God's grace and mercy, they'd already experienced it in Egypt. But how fear can erase and swallow up God's previous interventions is amazing. It's like a giant eraser. And so it says this, pulling down of strongholds, casting, now watch this, what does it say? Casting down imaginations. You know what their imagination would do? You know what the image they had of dying? They had the image of Pharaoh killing them. Or they had the image of going back into slavery. So it says, casting down a vain imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What, in other words, every high thing exalts itself against the promise of God. The devil is always going to exalt his word above God's. The devil is always going to say this to you and let you know that even though you love God, that the word of God is not going to work for you, that God really doesn't love you that much. God's not going to do this. If God was going to do it, why is he waiting? Why is he allowing all of this time to pass and that you would have to face these issues? Because you're going to come out with a testimony that's unbelievable. Testimony that's going to be off the chart. You know what? Listen to this. You know what God said? God said, I'm going to allow Pharaoh to come, and I'm actually going to lead the children of Israel right up to the Red Sea, because Pharaoh will come after them, and I am going to get my glory, and I am going to get my honor over Pharaoh. Listen to me. Whatever you're going through right now, I'm telling you, God is going to get the last word. God is going to get his glory and his honor. Just don't give up and just don't give in. Listen to this. He said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Whatever is, listen. If you don't know the word of God, you don't know what's being exalted above it. If you don't know the word of God, you don't know the word of deception. You have no way to discern it. Because deception is only discerned by truth. And through truth. So it says this. Watch this. Listen to this. I'm nowhere near my notes. I can't stand this. Listen to this. Listen to what it says. This is the last part of it. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. To the obedience. The devil is going to attack you with all kinds of negative thoughts, contrary to God's word. Every thought is in seed form. It's in seed form. The devil understands that words are seeds. And if he can get the wrong seeds planted in your mind without you casting them down and taking them into captivity, that which you do not take into captivity in accordance to the word of God and bring in obedience of the word will take you captive. It will take you captive. You will become its captive. That's the reason that God says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's the reason it says, cast down, cast out every single thought. So let me just say this real quickly. When I cast out a thought, because here's what this word means. When Moses said this, stand still, watch this, stand still and see. The word stand still there does not mean come to a broad halt and camp out. The word stand still means this. It means take a deep breath. Refocus. And stand firmly on the word that God has given you. Stand firmly on the word. Take a deep breath. Hold on. Reassess. Step back. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Stand back. Refocus. Rebuke the spirit of fear. Cast out the thoughts and imaginations motivated and instigated by the spirit of fear. And what do? You replace them by declaring God's word and his promises. Once you cast something out, fill that empty space up. What do you fill it up with? You take the seed of the negativity of the lies of the devil, cast that out, uproot them, and now plant the seed of God's word on the inside of your mind. What does that mean? That means like Psalms, the 91st chapter, verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come nigh your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra and the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Somebody get up and give God praise in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is who you are. What do you replace it with? You replace it with the word of God. What did I just do then? I took out the fear. I rebuked it, cast it down. Took out the negative thoughts. And what did I do? I went to the word of God and I began to speak and declare and fill my mind up with what God's word said. It says, you shall tread. You shall tread. Quit allowing him to tread on you. You shall tread. There's only one place for him. Under my feet. Under my feet. Under my feet. Under your foot. Not on top of your head. Because the Bible says you shall be the head and not the tail. You be the head and let him be the tail. You are the head and not the tail. He said, you shall be above only and not beneath. Let me just say this to you this morning. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, if your sins have not been forgiven, you have not received Jesus as the Lord of your life, devil has got a plan for you that will bring destruction, hurt, ruin, total disappointment. You'll constantly walk in emptiness and frustration with no satisfaction. Because the only person, just like I said with my wife, the only person that can satisfy my inner deepest being is Jesus Christ. Nobody else can do that. No human being. And you can go from relationship to relationship. You can go from material thing to material thing, title to title, vocation to vocation, accomplishments, achievements, and all of that, trying to get your self-worth. You know, the thing that I didn't get to this morning is this: their identity. Their identity. Their identity defeated them. It's amazing, because the way you see yourself is the way you think God sees you. The way you see yourself is the way you think other people see you. And the way you see yourself will either take you to the height of success or down into the pit of despair. You have to see yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You must see yourself as a conqueror. More than a conqueror, through Christ Jesus. You must see yourself. You yourself. I'm doing it this morning, but when you get up in the morning, you need to call the King out in you. You need to speak to the King on the inside of you. He's there, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You don't have to try to bring Jesus down from heaven again. He lives in you. He's there. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please? I want to give you an opportunity, and those of you viewing also right here with us, if you've never received Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, then you're living in sin, and the power of sin will destroy you. The devil doesn't want you to be saved. He doesn't want you to receive the forgiveness of your sin. And he doesn't want the power of the Holy Spirit to come in. He doesn't want you to know God. He wants you to be like him, separated from God. And he wants your end result to be the same as his end result, and that is the lake of fire. That is separated from God forever and ever. God doesn't want that. That's the reason that people all over the world proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the reason the devil wants to stop it so bad. Today, if you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, he will give you his life. What an exchange. God will bring you into his family, forgive you of all your sins, and come to live on the inside of you. If you're here and say, "Pastor, I knew the Lord at one time, but I've gotten away from him," God's just calling you to repent today and to come back in to the place where you need to be, in the family, instead of out there where the devil can beat you up again. So this morning, I'm saying, not only here, but all over our live streaming, if you says, "Pastor, I want to receive Jesus as Lord of my life," or, "Pastor, I've been away from God and I'm ready to repent and get back my life where it needs to be with the Lord," and you want to be in this prayer that I'm getting ready to pray, all I want you to do, all over this auditorium, right where you are, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Say, "Pastor, that's me. I want to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life today. Thank you. God bless you." Yes, God bless you. Yes. Anyone else? Say, "Pastor, that's me." Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Say, "Pastor, that's me." Yes. Thank you. God bless you. Yes. Yes, God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Say, "Pastor, that's me." Anyone else? Say, "Pastor, that's me. I want to be in that prayer this morning before I leave this place." Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, we're going to pray just like we said. All of you that raised your hands, I want you to pray this out loud with us. And those of you who are viewing, if you raised your hand, I want you to pray this out loud with us. Pray this with us. "Father God, I thank you today for your love. for me, for everyone. I believe with all my heart, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for me on a cross, and You raised Him from the dead. And Jesus Christ is alive. I repent of all my sin, and I ask Your forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Today, unashamedly, I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Thank You, Father, for forgiving me. I thank You for it, for my new life in Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. We welcome you into the family of God. Glory to God. Those of you that prayed online, there's a place right there that says, I got saved. Text to 97,000. We've got something special we want to send to you. And all of you that prayed here today, right, I'm getting ready to dismiss. When I dismiss, our altar ministers are going to be down here. I've got a book that we want to put in your hands. It's very, very important. It's my next steps. What do I do now? So many people get saved, don't even know their next steps. That's our place to disciple you and help you. That's what a local church is about. So please come down. And if you have prayer for anything, if you need anything in prayer, please, any situations, now you're a child of God. God can turn everything around. Okay, please come down and let them pray for you, but also let them pray for you for the power of the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus told the disciples after they got born again. Amen. Very, very important to do that. So please make sure. Now, if any of you have prayer needs for anything, please come down and let us pray for you here. Can you say amen? Did you get anything out of this morning? My question is, are you going to do it? Amen. If you're a hearer only, the Bible says you're deceiving yourself. But be a doer of the word. Please take these notes and study them. It's the reason I study so hard and give my time to prayer, so you can have these for your own study. Can you say amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I bless your people in Jesus' name. Thank you for their love for you. Thank you for their love for the world that's out there. Father, we're going into the harvest field right now. Bring people across our path. Give us the boldness to speak your word and to share our testimony with those who really so desperately need it. And Father, today I thank you that you would bless them, prosper them, and protect them in the name of Jesus. Father, as we prayed up front, protect all of our students that are going back to school. Protect all of our teachers, all of our administrators. Protect them. Put a hedge around them, Father, and keep them safe. In the name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a great week in the Lord.